Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssueZTC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
We found a note.
What did it say?
It said, "Who is John Galt?"
One of the worst railroad accidents in recent history.
A Taggart transcontinental freight train has crashed and derailed.
Well, they say you're intractable, you're ruthless, your only goal is to make money.
My only goal is to make money.
Yeah, but you shouldn't say it.
What is wrong with the world?
Well, I ask useless questions. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky? Who is John Galt?
In order to save my family's business, I'm going to have to abandon it. I'm going to take a leap and start my own company.
And what are you going to call this new line of yours?
The John Galt Line. To a successful business partnership.
I'll drink to that.
Just a little bit of the trailer of a movie opening, Atlas Shrugged, based on a book of the same name by Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand is a darling among American conservatives, especially of the capitalist bent. Why so, and what do we need to know, especially from a Christian perspective, about Ayn Rand's objectivist philosophy? Everything that she said and taught, rather than just picking and choosing what sounds good to our American ears. Joining us to talk about the book Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, Dr. Clay Jones. He's assistant professor of Christian apologetics at Biola University in La Mirada, California. Dr. Jones, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Why do you think Ayn Rand, in particular her two big works, Fountainhead and the one we're talking about today, Atlas Shrugged, are so popular with American conservatives?
Well, it's really, to me, no surprise at all, because there's a lot of things that I read that just about make me want to stand up and cheer. For instance, Rand recognized what everybody should recognize, that contradictory statements cannot be true. And this was a very big thing to her. This is the foundation of all logic. And, of course, in Christian apologetics, which is what we do here at Biola, I mean, that's where we start. The contradictory statements cannot be true. And so she was certainly big on that, as she put it in one of her works. She said, a leaf cannot be a stone at the same time, and it cannot be red and green at the same time. It cannot freeze and burn at the same time. A is A. And this is the foundation of all logic. So that's popular. The next thing is, Ayn believed that we can know reality. And in an age of postmodern, this postmodern poppycock where everybody's going, well, you can never really know anything, it's really actually refreshing to have anyone come out and just say, we can know reality. Related to that, she believes since we can know reality, it followed for her and it follows for me that we should use our minds to the fullest. That's a good thing. Conservatives have got to like that. And, of course, that leads to a constant theme in Atlas Shrugged and throughout her works, and the theme is stop making excuses for your failures and get to work. And so conservatives hear that and they go, you know, hooray, again, this is just really good news. She points out rather well, actually, that lazy thinkers often resent other people's achievements. And so actually they like the fact that you can't know reality. As she put it, if you obliterate reason, then that obliterates the concept of reality, which obliterates the concept of achievement, which obliterates the concept of the distinction between the earned and the unearned. And one last thing that Rand did, and I think this is right on the money, and that was she recognized that humankind was selfish. Now, we Christians disagree with her strongly on what she meant by selfishness, but she recognized that people are selfish, which is in line with the doctrine of original sin and the fall of humankind, and because of that, she realized, and she preaches, and this is where the economics and the politics comes in, that you've got to reward people for their work. And if you don't reward them for their work, then they're just very simply not going to work very hard anyway. They're not going to excel. And as you know, I'm sure, Todd, the failure of the communist system and often a failure of socialist systems is simply this sort of, well, shoot, let's just pay everybody the same amount of money regardless of how hard they work. And when you do that, people just don't work very hard. And so while the West Germans were making, you know, before the wall fell, the West Germans were making Porsches and Mercedes and BMWs, the East Germans were making little trash bin Trabants that were just pieces of junk. So anyway, it was those are the reasons why conservatives and especially political conservatives go, wow, Ayn Rand is speaking my language.
Before we get into the downside of her philosophy, her way of thinking and her worldview, just how, if you could, just give us a brief overview of how great her influence has been. Who has she influenced and how?
Well, that, of course, is a hugely important question, and I don't think most people, I think, have no idea about the breadth of her influence. Now, for instance, when it comes to psychology, she had a few, and not a large group. In fact, I've seen a picture of her standing with Alan Greenspan and his wife, and Nathaniel Brandon and his wife, and her husband, and that was like her inner circle. Nathaniel Brandon went off, basically, many people have called him the father of the self-esteem movement. And Rand was really big on human self-esteem. And so I think much of the entire self-esteem movement in the United States today, you can actually trace back through Nathaniel Brandon, her disciple, to Ayn Rand. When it comes to economics, and this is just, to me anyway, rather amazing, Alan Greenspan was one of her inner circle disciples. And he was the, laissez-faire, we're going to take our hands off of government, we're going to take our hands off of and not regulate, too much regulation. And a lot of people are accusing Greenspan actually of causing the economic collapse that has occurred, and Greenspan has admitted that he's made mistakes and is having to, and that his deregulation was not always a good idea. So, if you look at some people in politics, people, of course, have heard a lot lately about Rand Paul and Ron Paul, who ran for president. Rand was named after Ayn Rand. So the Pauls really like Ayn Rand, and Rush Limbaugh recommends Atlas Shrugged to his listeners, and the Tea Party likes the Atlas, is pushing the Atlas Shrugged movie. One more thing about this that I think is interesting. The Library of Congress Book of the Month Club survey of 5,000 readers found Atlas Shrugged was second only to the Bible as the most influential book of all time. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's just amazing. One more thing. The Modern Library did a survey of 217,000 readers voted on their favorite 100 novels. This is amazing. Atlas Shrugged was first. The Fountainhead was second. Anthem was seventh. And We the Living was eighth. Now think about that. That's ahead of, Atlas Shrugged is ahead of The Lord of the Rings. Atlas Shrugged is ahead of Catcher in the Rye. Atlas Shrugged is ahead of all these famous novels that we're aware of. I mean, amazing. So anyway, that's the kind of influence, and that's why I think people, they may not be using Ayn Rand's name anymore, but her effects and her philosophy has really had far-reaching impact.
Is her worldview, to speak more generally, and then of course she has a philosophy, objectivism, that she said she could explain in four words standing on one leg, but is her worldview Christian?
No. Absolutely not. Her worldview is atheist. And this is where we begin to go, the wheels begin to come off the wagon, and it leads to other problems too, of course. But no, Ayn Rand was an atheist. And if you asked her, I don't have her four-word answer, but I have a one-sentence answer, and she says this at the back of Atlas Shrugged in the appendix. In Atlas Shrugged, she says, "My philosophy, in essence, is the concept of man as a heroic being, with his own happiness as the moral purpose of his life, with productive achievement as his noblest activity, and reason as his only absolute." So that's her summation of it. But you'll notice the comment, man as a heroic being. As far as Ayn Rand was concerned, to praise God was simply to diminish man, and that man was the greatest thing that existed, and that man needs to essentially be worshipped. And if people, when they watch Atlas Shrugged, they'll get this concept that man should actually be worshipped.
She taught that man was an end in himself, and that seems to permeate out into all aspects, her ethics, which is enlightened self-interest, We hear a lot of the echoes of this in modern conservative thought nowadays, and I seriously doubt that those pushing the concepts here realize the atheistic core of the objectivist philosophy.
That's right. Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. I don't think they have any idea. Because, you know, let's face it, Atlas Shrugged is what? It's over 1,000 pages. I think it's even over slightly 1,100 pages. That's a lot to read. Her novels were not short. And I don't think then a lot of people have read her philosophy books. But a lot of people obviously have read her novels, like Atlas Shrugged. But I don't think too many people have actually sat down to read her philosophy.
You mentioned before that she did have a view of man as selfish. How did she define that, and how does it differ from a Christian, one of the fundamental tenets of a Christian worldview, namely original sin?
Well, indeed, she considered selfishness, well, that just to simply be self-interest. And for her, that was, you know, just, of course, people are self-interested. We shouldn't be worried about that. That shouldn't concern us in the slightest. And people should be willing then to just simply work for their own self-interest. And if you only take it there that far, that people are selfish and so they should work hard to accomplish what they want to do, that's not too bad. The trouble is then she takes it into selfishness and actually says selfishness is a good thing. In fact, she actually wrote a book with a title, The Virtue of Selfishness. And you'll remember the movie where Wall Street with Kurt, where Michael Douglas played Gordon.
Gecko.
And he says, greed is good. Well, that's just purely a Randian kind of notion that if we just allow people to be greedy, they'll have to start treating each other right, because if you're really greedy for yourself, that you won't do, you'll have to have good business ethics, because if you don't have good business ethics, people won't buy your product, and if they don't buy your product, then you're out of business. So actually greed can turn in her mind to a good thing.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Dr. Clay Jones. We're talking about the book Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference.
Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssuesETC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, April the 14th. Another 10 minutes with Dr. Clay Jones on the book Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. You can read several excellent blog posts written by Dr. Jones about Atlas Shrugged under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. So it sounds like, at least in terms of its internal consistency, we're really talking about a rather consistent, internally consistent way of looking at the world, this objectivist view of Ayn Rand. You say, however, that she fails to take in, although she claims to want to deal with reality as it is, she fails to take in the full scope of reality by ruling out of existence God himself. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, that, obviously, if you're going to rule God out of the picture, if there is a God, then you really missed a lot of existence, right? You're not taking in the whole of existence, which is what her objectivist philosophy, that was almost like rule one, make sure you're taking in all that exists and responding to it accurately. So she made a crucial mistake there, no doubt. And rejecting the God of the Bible and rejecting Christianity, it's interesting, like I say, because she then says, well, selfishness is a good thing. But I think she really failed. Oh, she, and by the way, related to that, she completely and utterly rejects the concept of original sin, as does her self-esteem guru disciple, Nathaniel Brannan. I mean, they just come straight out and rail against original sin, I should say. And so, yeah, these are just terrible, terrible things, the idea that there'd be original sin. And she declared that humans are born tabula rasa, or blank slates. And as a result, and I think this is where the trouble with Alan Greenspan came in. She said, you don't need to, if you just take away all the regulation and just let people really, really work hard, and yes, working for their own self-interest, but if you do that, everybody's going to act fairly, because that's actually in their own self-interest to act fairly. Well, that's just simply not true, and that's a failure to understand the horror of human sinfulness, and that people really will cheat you blind often if they get a chance. And this is something that Ayn Rand didn't believe, and sadly, neither did Alan Greenspan. And so, anyway, that's led to considerable amount of problems for Alan Greenspan, and I think for us even as a country.
Then what did Ayn Rand make of the principal figure and the heart and center of all Christianity, both as a theology and a worldview, Jesus Christ, and namely, his atoning sacrifice on the cross?
Well, she thought, of course, Jesus' atoning sacrifice was a waste, which is, you know, amazing when you think about it. But the reason she thought it was a waste is because she thought, well, you'd be having the ideal then die for the non-ideal. How ridiculous would that be? Because if you're going to buy the Christian story, then you've got Jesus being the ideal man dying for what is just corrupt. To Ayn, that was just the stupidest and most ridiculous thing that you could ever imagine happening. So that obviously is a huge problem. But then again, she didn't see humankind as being that bad. In fact, she thought they weren't bad. She thought it was the humankind was even noble for being selfish. And so here's the way she actually put it. According to the Christian mythology, he died on the cross for his own sins, not for his own sins, but for the sins of non-ideal people. In other words, a man of perfect virtue was sacrificed for men who were vicious and who were expected or supposed to accept that sacrifice. And obviously, though, she thought men, humankind, was actually good, so they didn't need a savior. And here, honestly, not only is she running contrary to what the Bible tells us about humankind, but she's running radically contrary to what we read in the history books. What we find with the Stanley Milgram experiment, where he got these people to shock each other for with little reason at all and basically torture each other. And so she really is misunderstood the nature of man, and that was exactly the failure of communism, as I mentioned when we first started talking. The failure of communism, it was that the communists thought that people were so good that if you just paid them all the same amount of money, everybody just get along. Ayn Rand's mistake is to think everybody's so selfish, but if you just allow them to do their thing, everybody will just get along. the trouble is that doesn't take into account that, you know what, my selfishness is actually going to make me do things, if you give me half a chance, where I'm going to hurt you and ruin you unfairly if it will give me the edge. And her philosophy didn't take that into account, and as a result, I think it's a colossal failure on that point.
How did her philosophy not only influence, but as you said before, give birth to the self-esteem movement, which has obviously found itself way, its way into the church, into society, into education? One might even now say it's burgeoned into the self-affirmation, not just self-esteem, but self-affirmation movement.
Well, this was a logical process to her, and her, like I say, disciple Nathaniel Brandon, in his book, The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, goes into the philosophy, and I, where I can't say it, this is would the Rand would agree with every single point. I think she probably would, though. Here's just some points that Nathaniel Brandon said. He said, first, I have the right to exist. The trouble with that is, what if you're a murderer? Do you still have the right to live if you're a murderer? Here's another one. I have a right to honor my needs and wants. Well, you know, Ayn Rand committed adultery with Nathaniel Brandon, who was 14 years her junior. So apparently, they both felt, and by the way, I should say, and both of their spouses knew that they were having this affair. So apparently that her right to honor her needs and wants was even if it meant that they could commit adultery. Another phrase was, I am lovable. Well, what if you're just a selfish, gravy-sucking pig? That doesn't make you lovable. But notice there's this kind of right, well, I'm lovable. Another one is, I am admirable. Does anybody admire Charlie Manson? I mean, is it just that you're admirable just because of what? You're human, you're admirable? Well, Charlie Manson isn't admirable. I'm worthy of happiness was another one. Regardless of whether you treat other people responsibly, what if you hurt people all the time intentionally? Does that really make you worthy of happiness? Anyway, these kinds of concepts, these are Randian ideas, are ridiculous, but this is what is being fed, sadly, as you know, Todd, to our children and to kids in grade school and high school. They're being fed this, you're good person, Johnny. No, it doesn't matter how well you do in school. It doesn't matter that you're kind of a lazy thug. But you're still a good person, Johnny, with this kind of idea that if you tell Johnny that he's a good person, regardless of how badly Johnny behaves, that somehow that will actually make Johnny into a better person. But what psychologists have found, as you know, over the years, is they found that really we've got lazy bums, lazy thugs that are for kids that think they're good people anyway.
I mean, that's
that it's not actually helping them perform.
That's the irony here, isn't it? That in the end, the influence of Ayn Rand's objectivist self-esteem philosophy has in fact produced precisely the opposite of what she thought it would inevitably produce. It has produced a generation of people who have an ingrained sense of entitlement just because
right.
They exist.
And that's it. Just because they exist, they have, I deserve this. And, you know, there's this one study, I mentioned it on my blog, a rather comprehensive study on self-esteem that was done, and they concluded this. This was their conclusion, and like I say, I encourage anybody to see it on the blog, and they concluded, high self-esteem does not prevent children from smoking, drinking, taking drugs, or engaging in early sex. And the study concluded that by praising all children for just being themselves simply devalues praise and confuses the young people as what the legitimate standards are. Because, as I mentioned in the blog, if I'm valuable simply because I'm human, all that is saying really, since there's 7 billion people on Earth, is I'm one in 7 billion. But to basically tell kids, it doesn't matter how you perform, but you're good, takes away the motive to perform. The truth of the matter is you're not good just simply by being a lazy, you know, just sitting on your duff all day long and doing nothing and being rude and being a selfish pork face. It doesn't make you a good person.
With only about 20 seconds here, what at bottom line do Christians need to keep in mind when they watch the movie that opens Atlas Shrugged, Dr. Jones? About 20 seconds.
Well, I think that the biggest thing that they need to keep in mind is just that this is what happens when you have somebody that gives up on God, and you're going to see some things that are good and early, because you're only going to see the first third of the book. So that's rather tricky. You're not going to get that much. But just beware on how selfishness and the praise and glorification of man in this first movie comes out, because that's what Ayn Rand is about, is the praise and glorification of man, not God. They worship the creator rather than the creator. And that's what you're going, or the creature, excuse me, rather than the creator. And that's what you're going to see in the movie.
Dr. Clay Jones is assistant professor of Christian apologetics at Biola University in La Mirada, California. You can check out his review of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thank you very much for being our guest.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me, Todd.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this week, consider making a tax-deductible donation this weekend. For a gift of any size to contribution, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org or donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks in advance. Thanks for listening. Talk with you Monday on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.